You know, when you pick up your Bible and you read the life of Jesus Christ, you're struck by one great overpowering conclusion. And that is that Jesus Christ knew where he was going. He was on a track, heading in a direction. His entire life was ordered by one great objective. Everything he did, everything he said, was part of a pattern, a divine pattern. And his life and the events of his life had significance because each event contributed to an ultimate purpose. And not for 1 minute did Jesus Christ ever lose track of his goal. Never once. Never for a split second did Jesus Christ ever lose track of his goal. Moment by moment, if you take a careful reading of the life of Christ, you'll discover that he disclosed God's strategy for world conquest. There was nothing haphazard. He was on business for God. When I read the life of Jesus Christ, it reminds me of a great general who was sitting with his war plans out in front of him and plotting his course of battle. And of this you can be assured, Jesus Christ planned to win. He conceived a plan that would not fail. Now, it all had a rather modest beginning. It all started when he met two rather ordinary men, a man named John and a man named Andrew. And Andrew then, in turn, brought along a fellow named Peter. And then Jesus found a man named Philip. And then Philip went along and found a man named Nathanael. And so it went. And admittedly, these were rather ordinary men, but one thing characterized their life. They had a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. They did not dabble in sin along the way. They did not dabble with that which was good along the way. They had their sights set on the best. And they never lowered their sights. And this hunger and thirst for righteousness resulted in their being available, being teachable, and being willing to pay the price of following Christ, whatever it cost, wherever he led. Now, his plan was to train these men, because everything depended on them if the world would believe on him through their word, as he said later. Now, one way to learn what a person really has on his heart, excuse me, is to pray with that person. If you want to learn what is in the heart of a man or a gal, pray with that person and see what it is that wells up from their heart in prayer. And I'd like to have you turn with me just for a moment to John, the 17th chapter. John, the 17th chapter, and we will listen to the Son of God pray. Let's start reading with verse 6. And where we come across the phrase, the men or they or them, I'll take the liberty of substituting a word or two in there so you can get the force of this prayer. Starting with verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine these men were, and thou hast given me them. And these men have kept thy word. Now these men have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto these men the words which thou gavest me. And these men have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And these men have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for these men. I pray not for the world, but for these men which thou hast given me. For they are thine. And all things are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in these men. Now I am no more in the world, but these men are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name these men whom thou hast given me, that these men may be one as we are one. While I was with these men in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the Son of God, or the Son of perdition, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. Do you get the force of this? The main thing he's doing in praying for these men. Look at verse 14. I have given these men thy word. Verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldst take these men out of the world, but thou shouldst keep these men from the evil one. Verse 16. These men are not of the world. Verse 17. Sanctify these men through thy truth. Verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent these men into the world. Verse 21, that these men all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that these men also may be one, that the world may believe, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And he repeats that prayer in verse 23, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Note the heart that he had for these men. Now why? Why was he all wrapped up in these few men? Well, now you'll find Jesus Christ always doing all he could for the multitudes. But he devoted himself. He devoted his life primarily to these few men who would be world-conquering disciples. That was his objective. This was the genius of his strategy. I'm going to give you two things now. I'm going to give you what I believe to be the genius of his strategy and the essence of his training program. The genius of his strategy was to devote his life to a few men. And having called these men, he made it a practice to be with these men. And that was the essence of his training program. Just letting these men follow him around. Letting these men follow him around. Jesus Christ was the school. Jesus Christ was the training program. Jesus Christ was the curriculum. Jesus Christ was the campus. Jesus Christ was the dean of men. Jesus Christ was the entire training program. His entire training program was his life. And he issued a call for a few men to drop everything they had and come take up a cross and follow him. And tonight, he issues that same identical call. Tonight, Jesus Christ looks out over this assembly. And he looks at you, not as I'm looking at you, because he looks at your heart. He looks way down deep inside your life, where you live, the kind of person that you really are. He looks at you not on the surface. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And tonight, Jesus Christ glances around the room. And he knows, and he is excited about the fact that there are some of you in this room tonight whose hearts burn to be involved with him as he continues this world-conquering mission. You see, Jesus Christ got excited about the fact that a few men followed him. You can tell that by the intensity that he lived his life. And the last few months of his life, he didn't let those men out of his sight. He was all involved with those men. And tonight, he wants to get involved with you just as intensely as he did with those men. He wants to get all involved in your life. And tonight, in your heart of hearts, you'll hear the Son of God saying, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. If any man will come after me, let him give up all right to himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me." And he issues that to men and women whom he wants to make disciples. And a disciple is basically a learner or a follower. Who is it that wants world-conquering disciples, as we see our little sign here? Who wants that? Everybody wants that. New York Life Insurance. They want men who will sell their souls to go out and make $1 million for themselves. General Motors wants men who will sell their souls and give up everything to keep them at the top. AT&T, General Dynamics, Boeing Aircraft, they will all come around to your campus and they'll all send around a slick representative, all dressed up in the latest stuff, to tell you about the town in which the plant is located, to tell you about all the things that go on in those lovely little spots of theirs and all the money you can make. And they'll really lay it out, because I've heard them do it. Everybody wants men like that. Everybody wants men like that. And they all offer a pile of money, lots of prestige, financial security, and all that goes with it. Now, Jesus Christ has never changed the conditions of his call. Never once. He says, "The servant is no better than his Lord. If you follow me, you'll have it no better than I had it." The servant is no better than his Lord. And if you decide to accept my challenge and follow me, you'll have it no better than I had it. And he may show you his hands and his side. The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of God has not where to lay his head. Buddy, if you decide to accept the challenge of Jesus Christ, don't expect to have it better than Christ had it. Tonight, Jesus Christ says, "I want men who care nothing for the world's empty praise. I want men who care nothing for security and comfort. I want men who care nothing for financial gain. I want men who care nothing for popularity and prestige. I just want men who care. Who care that this world is sick. And if you don't believe that, pick up the last Life magazine. Turn to about the middle section and read about Sunset Strip. Fellas and gals your age tonight doing things that you can't even imagine. I want fellas and gals who care. Care that this world is sick. Care that this world is teetering on the brink of disaster. Who care about something that's bigger than their own miserable little life. He that findeth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake, the same shall find it. Tonight, the only thing that Jesus Christ offers you as he comes on your campus and sits down to interview you for his job opportunities and all the benefits that go with it, the only thing that Jesus Christ offers you tonight is life. With a capital L, life. A challenging, adventurous, meaningful, joyful life on a higher plane. Without difficulties? No. Like a great man of our generation, he offers you also blood, sweat, and tears. In fact, much of what you get involved in may be characterized by those three things: blood, sweat, and tears. Well, then what will I gain for myself? What will it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, what security do I have? Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. Gain? Security? No. Well, then what is your basic offer, Lord? I am come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. He offers you life. He offers you his life. All of his life he is willing to share with you, if you are willing to share all of your life with him. Tonight, Jesus Christ offers you the opportunity to be involved in the most noble, the most exciting, the most challenging thing available during your days. The opportunity to fulfill the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The opportunity to reach this world for Christ in your generation. Well, where does it start? One word. Surrender. Surrender all your dreams, all your plans, all your ideas. Be willing to leave all the Mickey Mouse, all the tinsel, all the froth for something that is real and will last. One word. Surrender. That's all. Surrender. Surrender.